It's the only podcast that lets you kick Monday in the gut and then drop it with a stunner. Not from out of nowhere, though, because you would have seen it coming. It's the People's Podcast on Things
Death. There's only one person who can do things out of nowhere. I'm sorry.
What if, now, bear with me, but what if somebody, what about The Undertaker? He can do things from out of nowhere. He can be invisible.
He can, but he can't really do the RKO / Twist of Fate /
That's true. His moveset does require a great amount of setup. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, the switch in music comes out of nowhere.
It does. Well, it's not supposed to, but it does.
Yes, because there's usually meant to be a build-up where he stamps his foot.
But, like, how many times in history has the build-up ever actually led to the super kick? Probably, like, three.
Never. I think only one time when he did it to Diesel.
Yeah, it always gets avoided somehow. In fact, quite like Randy Orton's setup for the RKO.
Well, you mean the pounding on the mat?
Yeah, the pounding of the arms.
Doing that? Like, what the heck?
Remember that one time he separated his shoulder doing it?
Yeah.
Idiot.
Randy will take it easy. It's all right.
He got too into it, man.
He gets into a lot of things. Ask Kofi Kingston, bless his heart.
Oh, God. But he's back. The Orton machine is back. And in fact, I haven't watched Raw yet, but I do believe he turned babyface this week. Is that right?
Yes, he sure enough did. Although the setup was there, and they did it quite interestingly. Although I think they took entirely too long.
I think they did it 3 weeks too late, to be honest. I think he should have come back a fiery babyface.
Yes, but the way they did it on Monday was quite—it was all right.
Sure,
it served its purpose. We knew it was coming. He basically told Seth Rollins what he was going to do before he did it, but he made it into a jocular fashion, which is weird for Randy Orton.
That is weird. I think he should have turned last week. He should have just RKO'd him in front of Jon Stewart, and then it would have been a bigger deal. Because not only well, would John...
Then he could have celebrated with Jon Stewart.
And then RKO'd him, just to show that he's still a badass. And he should
like
not
Austin would have?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing they tried to do with Orton when he was a babyface last time, when they turned him in 2010, was they tried to make him a badass like Austin, and it didn't work.
Well, because they tried to make him a badass, but they wouldn't let him do as many badass things.
Well, the thing is, yeah, exactly. And at that point, they just turned PG, so they took out his punt move.
Yeah. So... I don't know. I feel like this time, I think they took a little too long. I think if they had turned him as soon as he came back, as he should have been, because he left a babyface.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he got beat up by the heels. That makes you a de facto babyface these days.
My thing is, and this is the only person I'll think this, though. Who ordered the hit on Randy Orton?
No, I completely agree with you. I don't know if they're going to follow up on that, because you're right. The way they did it was... Triple H was trying to help Randy Orton, and then Stephanie
but then
ordered,
eventually gave up.
Well, because Stephanie ordered the hit, and Triple H was like...
Agreed.
He was like, all right, fine. I don't know if they're going to follow up on that, because what are you going to do, Randy Orton versus Stephanie?
Now there's a match for the ages.
Mm. I mean, he's already DDT'd her, so I don't know what else you can do with her.
Not much, I hope.
Yeah. What if Stephanie goes with Seth, and Triple H turns babyface? And they do Triple H versus Stephanie. Because God knows we need that in 2015.
Oh, Jesus. You know what, Triple H? You keep on doing what you're doing. It's all right. Don't worry.
Yeah, say what you want about Triple H. I think his promos against Sting have been excellent. Granted,
yes.
They've been a little long. They could maybe afford to be like, I don't know, 5 minutes
five
shorter.
5 minutes shorter, yes.
But they're pretty damn good.
And this is around the time, and you can say what you want about Triple H, and there's so many things you can say, but when it comes to WrestleMania season, his promos are usually pretty good. They have been for the last few years, anyway.
That is a fact. Yeah, he works really hard for WrestleMania season. So Triple H and Sting are happening at WrestleMania, pretty much
now,
the only match I'm excited for at this point.
Now,
yeah,
Sting is confirmed for tonight. He will be on Raw tonight.
He will be on Raw tonight. Very cool.
Which I'm looking forward to. Now, however, they didn't do this thing where he did a creepy voice and it wasn't Sting's voice.
Right.
My thing is, why do you need him to talk right now?
Sure. Why? Sure. I mean, he can't. But the thing is, like, Sting can
He's always
talk.
Been a good talker. I'm not going to disagree. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. I don't think he's always been a good talker. But I think recently he's gotten really good.
Yes.
And I think he had to get good because he realized that, like, the product that he worked for previous to WWE was so bad. That he needed to have a good promo. And so
how many in that company, how many at Nashville at the time that Sting was there were good talkers? James Storm.
Yeah. And even at that time, James Storm didn't get much time to talk.
Right. Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Who Bobby else? Roode.
Kurt Angle.
Jeff is awful. We know this.
Jeff is pretty bad.
Matt Hardy wasn't there then, but he can get by.
He's all right. AJ.
Angle, yes.
Angle, Christian, when he was there.
Yeah.
You know, I think Christian might have been the best one out of all of them when he was there.
Yeah, but then again, he started in the WWE, but then I could say the same about Jeff, couldn't I? So.
Yeah. God knows WWE didn't teach Jeff anything.
Joe could cut a promo when he needed to.
Oh, man. Did you watch his Ring of Honor promo this week?
Yes.
Or two
we'll
weeks
get to
soon?
That.
It was pretty tremendous.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, so, I mean, these guys have been great talkers. I honestly, as a fan and like a nostalgia thing, it'd be cool if Sting didn't talk at all. But if the writers think that Sting needs to talk to sell the WrestleMania, I don't have a problem with
but
that.
But Triple H is doing a pretty damn good job of it on his own.
That's true.
And if you need a mouthpiece for Sting, you've got enough legends from the past to do it. Flair can do it.
Sure.
If need be, you can bring Dusty in. He can do it, although he's kind of busy right now with his own problems.
And they, for some reason, they're not letting Dusty on live TV. Had you heard about this?
Yeah, I don't know why.
He probably...
I don't understand this.
You know why? Because remember the last time he was on live TV, it was with Stephanie. And remember what
he
did?
Oh, yeah.
And I think Stephanie holds a grudge. I don't know. I'm not saying anything about Stephanie, but something tells me that she's one to hold grudges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. And Dusty's one of the best talkers
he's
in
tremendous.
The business.
How old is he now? He's
well, who's teaching the NXT guys how to cut promos?
Exactly.
Dusty Rhodes.
You trust the guy enough to teach your talent, but you don't trust him enough to come up and sell a match for you? It's ridiculous.
Well, then again, I think that NXT thing is more of a Triple H project. I think Stephanie has as little say as possible.
It's Triple H's NXT. Feud, though. Bring him up, Hunter. Come on. What are you doing? So,
as we found out from many of your podcasts that Vince is, well, he's done one. Triple H really doesn't have that much of a say. Bless him.
Yeah, poor fella.
Bless
so,
him.
I don't mind.
I'm really looking forward to this Sting. Now, where do you think they'll place it?
On Raw?
No.
WrestleMania?
Mania. Yeah.
I think it'll be like, okay, I think Cena and Rusev will go before it.
Do you think?
Yes.
Then again, Cena for the last year's WrestleMania went before Undertaker and Brock as well. He was quite early in the show last year.
Yes. And I think it's basically the same level of match.
Pretty much.
I think it'll go before. I think Sting and Hunter will go in the middle. I don't know about Undertaker and Bray Wyatt.
That's going to be an interesting one. I don't know where that could go at the top of the first hour.
Yeah, because I don't think it's going to be that good.
No, neither do I. I don't know what Undertaker's shape, what kind of shape he's in.
And even like if they were both healthy, I really wouldn't expect much from these two. Like I'd expect them to do like a no disqualification type match, but I don't think Undertaker's in shape to do that.
What Undertaker has been doing for the last, I think since the Batista match, is he's been getting these guys that he's going to work with, and they've been going down to Houston. Where he lives?
Yeah.
At his gym, and they kind of work the match out there. Well, so that's why they've been pretty, really good, especially the four, you know, Michaels and Triple H. And the CM Punk one was pretty good, too.
Do you know what? I say that, like, Taker and Wyatt might not be the best, but they're both so good at psychology that
could be awesome.
They might be able to work out a really good story.
We didn't think the Cena Bray Wyatt one would be awesome last year, but it was pretty good.
Here's the thing: Cena and Wyatt at WrestleMania was tremendous. I thought it was great. They never
psychology in that match was really, really well done.
Granted, they never followed up on it, and the next month's match was terrible. But
would you rather have a good match at WrestleMania, or would you rather have a great blow off match at Extreme Rules
with a little kid singing on the steps? That was the weird part.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
But as a self-contained story, the WrestleMania match with Wyatt and Cena was great.
And I kind of see where they're going with this one, you know, with Bray Wyatt being the new face of fear or whatever they're calling him nowadays.
Sure.
You can see the logic behind it. I just wish Bray Wyatt would shut up sometimes. do you see?
Yeah.
They had The Undertaker accept a match last week and burn his rocking chair, but I thought that rocking chair was destroyed anyway.
Yeah, I thought Dean Ambrose broke it.
Yeah, so he must have a supply of rocking chairs, apparently.
I think he has like a whole storage unit. And it's just rocking chairs.
No, Bray Wyatt, he probably does too.
I think when he, they should make an episode of Slam City out of this, actually. You're welcome, WWE. So if Bray Wyatt ever leaves wrestling, he should open up Bray Wyatt's Rocking Chair Emporium.
Oh, like the Briscoe's Body Workshop?
Yeah, but he just sells rocking chairs.
But he sells chairs.
I think that'd be great.
Awesome. I'd go.
Every year for TLC to build up the chairs match, you could have the guys go to Bray Wyatt's shop.
You could test out the weight of the chair, see how heavy it is.
Yeah, you can test out the chair to skull ratio and make sure it's satisfactory.
Bray No, not the chair to skull ratio. You can't do that anymore.
Oh, that's right. Chair to a not skull back. Ratio.
Chair to back ratio, because that's so much better when you whack someone in the back with a chair.
Yeah, it's better if you whack them in the spine, paralyze them.
Yeah,
that's fine.
You forget the concussion. You know, concussions are fine. They can hit them in the spine. Oh yeah, that's fine.
That's fine. So yes, that should be Bray Wyatt's new pastime when he retires from the wrestling.
Now, one of the most hilarious things that's been happening in WWE is at the minute is this Intercontinental title thing. R-Truth has been on commentary for the last 2 weeks, and it has been hilarious.
He's been fine. Here's what I think, though. This Intercontinental title thing, where they're just stealing the belt over and over again, it makes this title seem like such a cartoon. Whereas the United States title has been...
Which wasn't even theirs originally.
That's true. The U.S. title has been made to look like one of the most important titles now that John Cena is trying to win it.
Well, it's been 11 years since John Cena held the U.S. title, and since it's been 11 years this year since he beat one Big Show at Madison Square Garden at WrestleMania 20.
Have they brought that up once, though?
Of course not.
They should. It'd be a great piece of history. And maybe in the WrestleMania video that they do before the match, I'm sure they'll bring it up then.
Oh, of course they will. But, and I was rewatching WrestleMania 20 the other day just because I have the network and I can.
Yes.
The pop that John Cena got from Madison Square Garden that night. Ooh,
oh, man. He was a star.
He was the star on that show.
Yeah.
Arguably, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero didn't get bigger pops than John Cena that night. I'm telling you.
He was on the ascent, man. There was a point that I can trace it to a point. And it was like, I think when John Cena went to Raw in June of 2005.
When he got that huge ovation when he came out on the highlight reel?
Yeah. I think that was like the peak for him. And then...
Well, you know what really, really did him in was that feud with RVD.
You think that
was when it became noticeable?
Because people really wanted John Cena to... I mean, they wanted ECW to succeed. And you put John Cena in such a...
He was in a no-win situation.
Yeah, and that's not somewhere you want to put your top guy. Because at that point, he was your top guy, but he wasn't your established top guy.
No, that was still Triple H at that time.
So I thought that was very hard for him.
Once he did come to... Who did he feud with? The internet darling that is Chris Jericho.
Yeah, that was a problem too. So they put a lot of obstacles against him. And I'm not saying that he wouldn't be booed today because he's just been on top for so long. I think like inevitably people are going to start booing him.
You could say that. You say that. But you're right. And you are right because look at it. Austin had a shelf life of what, 4 years on top?
Yeah.
That's just about enough. Same with The Rock. He left Hollywood just at the right time.
Hogan was on top for 7 years. Cena's been on top for 10.
Yeah, and even after the seventh year in the WWE, the fans had started turning on Hogan.
Exactly.
So I think 4-5 years on top is about the time that the fans will be all right, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you're someone ridiculous like Austin was, and innovative, that word.
Innovative? You
know what I mean? Innovative.
Sure. But think about it this way, too. When Hogan was on top, from what, let's say, WWE, let's 84? Say 84 to 92. And granted, yeah. He did leave and come back a few times. He left in 92 also.
He did, but you know, he really left in 93.
Sure, he left for good in 93.
Yeah.
So he was on top for 8 years. But those 8 years, like, they still weren't doing weekly live shows, and Hogan wasn't on every show. So it wasn't even like... Really, 8 years. John Cena's
and
been the
even
top
when
guy.
Even when Hogan was on top, you could argue that the depth that the WWE had was pretty decent. You had Ricky Steamboat, Harley Race was still in. You had Randy Savage.
Yeah,
Warrior was just coming in the late 80s.
You had all the tag teams. You had the Killer Bees in there.
Exactly. Yet even with Austin, when Austin and Rock were on top, you had your Hardys, your Edges and Christians, your Dudleys, Jericho, Benoit, all of them. I mean, the guy that can't be named, you know what I mean.
Yeah, Malenko, Guerrero. You had all these guys.
Malenko. Cena has literally, and this has become more noticeable over the last 5-6 years, apart from Orton and a Punk for a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
There really hasn't been anyone else.
He's got no one to work with. And you know what I blame for this? I blame, and we're seeing it more on NXT, which is great. I blame this on the absence of the job guy. We don't have
absolutely.
We don't have bona fide jobbers. We have guys like Dolph Ziggler or like R-Truth or
Harper and Rowan now.
Yeah, who they tell us every week that they're superstars, but every week they lose. So it's like, are they jobbers or are they not jobbers? How am I supposed to feel about them?
And the point of Raw back in the day before they switched it to 2 hours was the established guys would come out and they'd beat the crap out of a jobber to make them look good.
It's a formula and it works, guys. And if you don't think it still works in 2015, watch NXT and I have two words for you. Baron Corbin. That guy, that guy is so over because he beats jobbers. That's all he does.
Yes.
I don't understand.
And it does a lot for the jobbers too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because for the young jobbers, and that's why the Hardys got so good, because they, I mean, Jeff Hardy, his first match in the WWE was with Scott Hall, Razor yeah. Ramon. He also worked with Sean Waltman. They had a handicap match against The Undertaker where he killed them.
Which is awesome. Just be a jobber for a while, is what I'm saying.
Because you do learn a lot. And you're right, I do miss... That's why Al Snow is so loved, because he was your typical jobber.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, I would much rather... As much as I love the Mizdow, I would much rather watch like 3 squash matches on Raw than
watch a Mizdow segment.
Than watch a Miz and Mizdow, Miz Khalifa segment, or whoever he was.
Miz Khalifa. Yes. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, WWE. That's all.
And
I'm
it looks like, and poor Daniel Bryan, bless his heart, he looks like he's going to be in this ladder match. Which
what a geek! What a jobber this guy.
I know, and. Which is good, because that means we're not going to get Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan by the looks of things. Thanks.
Honestly, I sound like the jaded wrestling mark, but I would much rather have Daniel Bryan in a one-on-one with Sheamus, even if at least that would have some story. This is Daniel
and you know what?
Bryan.
I know you hate Sheamus when he talks and does his promo skills. He's actually a good worker, you know.
Fine. I don't even care about Sheamus. I just want Daniel Bryan to beat him.
Exactly.
I want Sheamus to be the job guy.
That's fine.
But you're putting Daniel Bryan in this cartoon ladder match where everyone's they're just stealing.
And you need heels. So if you're going to turn Sheamus heel and you want him to be a badass heel, then you put him against your ultimate good guy.
Yeah.
And the biggest babyface in the WWE right now, whether they want to admit it or not, is Daniel Bryan.
They're sure not admitting it, because look where he is.
Correct.
It's laughable what they've done with this guy.
Correct. And I wholeheartedly agree.
As I listen to the fans' reactions to Daniel Bryan, I feel like they've just about given up. They sound so defeated. You hear the yes chants, and they're trying so hard to cheer for Daniel Bryan, but they realize, like, this guy's fighting for the Intercontinental title and will probably be the opening match of WrestleMania. This guy's done.
It's going to be a spot match, let's be honest.
Yeah. And by the way, that's terrifying considering what Daniel Bryan just came back from.
I mean, look, when you have neck surgery, ask Edge. The first thing you do is not put the man in a ladder match.
Did you watch his match with Luke Harper a few weeks ago?
Who, Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, this guy took the stupidest bump to the outside and he fell on his head.
Yeah.
Imagine what he's going to do in a ladder match. You know he's going to feel compelled to do something amazing.
Because he's Daniel Bryan and the fans expect it.
Yeah.
I mean, he did win Money in the Bank a few years back. I think people forget that.
He sure did win Money in the Bank.
In that epic match with the Big Show at TLC where you cashed it in. Anyway.
Yes, everyone has forgotten that, by the way.
Of course they have. Of course they have. There's a Daniel Bryan DVD coming out soon. I've just seen the first. Yeah, there's a tryout match on there from the year 2000.
Really?
Yeah.
I lost to John Cena once. Then a few years later, I came back and I beat him at SummerSlam. The end. That's all that's happened.
No. I was World Heavyweight Champion. Then I had a dark match at WrestleMania. And then I lost at WrestleMania in 18 seconds. I won the title, lost it, won it back, lost it again, and then won it at WrestleMania. Oh, and then got injured. The end.
Thanks to Kane.
Oh, no. Bless his heart. Kane gets blamed for a lot. He's such a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. He should retire, but he's a nice guy.
But he's such a nice guy. Now, one other thing. We all know that Paul Heyman is wonderful. And I think younger fans are now seeing just how wonderful Paul Heyman actually is.
There was a point where I thought, I don't think Paul Heyman can get any better. And then he started talking 2 weeks ago.
You know what? As much as I'm not looking forward to this Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match, Paul Heyman is the guy that can make me look forward to it.
Yeah, Paul Heyman is doing his damnedest to make you care about Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. He's doing so good.
He really is. He's selling it on his own, pretty much. I mean, Roman Reigns is trying. I'm not gonna be like every other internet fan and just gonna rail on Roman Reigns because it's not his fault.
Right. By the way, my favorite sign of all time last week: eat, sleep, no show, repeat.
Hilarious.
Very good.
Oh yeah, can I just say R-Truth has been hilarious. He came up with a line: "I'm not a pilfer, I'm from the United States." That's a great line.
I don't even know what that means.
They were talking about stealing from the Intercontinental. I'm not. Yeah, I'm from the. Like, come on, R-Truth, really? You're gonna make yourself sound even dumber than you actually are.
It's ridiculous.
It really is. We've also, I'm really looking forward to WrestleMania week because on the 27th there's an NXT show.
There is, in fact, and we might be able to make that for us.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah.
It's confirmed. The Wispy will be out there.
The Wisp will be in Northern California, people.
Yeah.
Be there to meet the Wisp.
Absolutely. Yes, and Kevin Owens. I'm really looking forward to seeing him, Kevin Steen.
Yes, he's so good.
He's so good. As long as he's not fighting Alex Riley, I'll be happy.
I wouldn't mind watching him kill Alex Riley. That'd be cool.
Makes him a babyface in my eyes, though.
Yeah, that's awesome. Watch Alex Riley win.
Oh, they wouldn't do that, would they?
I don't know. It depends on how much he's pissed somebody off in the last week.
He's notorious for that, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got to be careful on Twitter is what I'm saying.
Yeah, pretty much. They had a talent meeting last week on the WWE at Raw, and I think that was one of the things they said. Just be careful on Twitter, would you?
Don't be stupid. Jeez. Yeah.
Wrestlers and Twitter is not a good combination a lot of the time.
They don't go well together.
No.
No.
Especially when someone's drinking.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Kurt Angle.
Yeah, just turn off your phone or lock your phone when you drink. You'll
Or give it to your significant other.
Yeah, do something, as long as they haven't been drinking, because then...
Yeah. Because then you could have a Seth Rollins moment.
Oh, God. Poor guy. So anyway, yes. By the way, Seth Rollins, Randy Orton. We talked about Orton coming in, but what happened to Seth Rollins?
He used to be a badass heel. Now he's just a whiny bitch heel.
Yeah. I think in WWE's eyes, Seth Rollins is still the top heel in their company.
Oh, of course he is.
But he's being portrayed as such a bitch.
And Randy Orton said that.
And it's the
Randy
worst.
Orton said that to him last week.
Really?
Because he's hiding behind JJ Security, J&J.
He's doing the Jon Stewart show. I mean, I don't know what his role is right now in this company.
I'm still predicting, and I've been saying it for the last 3 or 4 months, haven't I, to you? He will cash in at WrestleMania. I'm telling you. I feel it right in my bones.
How counterproductive is it, though, to build up Roman Reigns for this huge win at WrestleMania? They want him to be their top guy, and then you beat him 30 seconds after he wins the title?
But the story would make sense, Dez. The story would make sense.
It sure would, but when was the last time WWE put a story making sense over getting a star over?
Well, quite. But I genuinely feel this is the year that the Money in the Bank will be cashed in at WrestleMania.
I think if WWE wants to be super swervy like they like to be sometimes, they'll
When was the last time they were super swervy at WrestleMania? Would it be that Austin heel turn or The Rock, Rock Bottom and John Cena? I wouldn't even count that as a swerve because we knew it was coming.
I would count it as a swerve. I did not expect The Miz to retain at WrestleMania. Nobody did.
Okay, all right.
But if they want to be super swervy at Mania this year, and if they want to give a final fuck you to Brock Lesnar, they can have Rollins beat Roman. I mean, Lesnar beat Roman, and then have Rollins cash in on Lesnar, and then...
But what would that do? Because we're assuming that Orton will beat Rollins, right?
Yeah. And then,
for
okay,
the storyline
so
to finish?
So then you have more than one option. Then you can do Rollins and Orton for the title. You can do Rollins and Reigns for the title. Ultimately, though, you would have Reigns beat Rollins for the title.
Yes.
Just another direction to go.
So if they want to be clever about it, that's what they should do. And it will make the internet go nuts.
Sure. It would be a swerve for the sake of a swerve, but at least it would eventually still end with the same result.
Yes.
So we'll see. I don't know. It's one of those things. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
You're damned if you don't, if you're the WWE, to be honest.
Yeah, brother.
Although, as I said, the mantra still remains, Sting will be there.
Sting will be there. So let's do this. Let's do this every week going into WrestleMania. On a scale of 1 to 10 this week, how excited are you for WrestleMania?
Now that I've booked my to Oakland.
Not the weekend, mind you, because we're going to have a great weekend. But how excited are you for the show for WrestleMania?
Ah, okay, the show. Because as I say, now that I've booked, I'm more excited than I was.
Yeah.
But the show in general, it's getting there. it's getting there, because WrestleMania is one of those things, it's a slow one, but then when you get to that week, like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania week.
Yeah, we'll see what they do with them.
I'm thinking about a 5.5.
All right. Yeah, I'd say I'm about a 4 right now.
Yeah. But I know once next week hits, I'm going to be like, ah. Oh.
We'll see. They got to pull some stuff out, man.
They really do. And I think having Sting on Raw tonight is a good idea.
They have Sting on tonight. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere they have Lesnar on tonight.
Mm.
It's going to be a loaded Raw.
It really is. And because next week and the week before WrestleMania, Raw's crap. Yeah. Raw is crap for the go-home WrestleMania, because they're protecting everybody. They have to. They've got no choice.
The go-home SmackDown's even worse, because it's just a music video for 2 hours.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah, so... Anyway.
Now, let's discuss the Hall of Fame quickly.
It's been announced today
that one living legend will be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
The Adventures of Larry Land are coming to the Hall of Fame.
And you know what? I said last week that the Hall of Fame is weak. I think this one induction has me really excited just for the speech alone.
Dude, this makes me so mad that we're not going to be there live, because...
Oh, absolutely.
Larry Zbysko is one of the most outlandish people, like in real life, that I have ever heard.
And if you've never heard him do interviews on podcast, go and watch him do Nitro a couple of 10, 15 years back.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's genuine. Him and Schiavone were a great team. Him and Heenan were hilarious.
It's funny because, to me, Larry Zbysko's personality does not match his in-ring work at all. Like,
it doesn't.
It is the funniest thing.
Very strange.
He's like this. Here's this crazy, colorful guy who's just yelling all the time, and then he gets in the ring and he just stalls.
Yeah. Didn't you have to watch a Larry Zbysko match last year for Throwback Live? Oh,
I got to watch the epic that was Larry Zbysko versus Scott Hall.
That's right.
A clinic they put on, they did.
Oh, boy.
Until Dusty Rhodes turned on Larry and then Tony Schiavone cried.
That was the best part.
Oh, man.
I'm glad he's inducted into it, because he has done a lot for wrestling, to be honest.
He belongs there, absolutely.
So I still maintain it's one of the weaker classes.
Yeah.
Because the thing was, they were going to say, well, people were thinking it's going to be Kevin Nash. I'm like, that doesn't make sense now.
Especially
you're
going to
put him in a couple of weeks before WrestleMania? Nah.
And like 2 months after this controversial thing where he got charged with beating his kid or whatever it was.
Granted, his best friend is running the company, pretty much.
That's true, too.
However, I don't think Triple H is that stupid. This is the same Triple H who fired Shawn Michaels in 2000. Had make sure Shawn Michaels got released in 2001 because he was being a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Things happen. So let's go back to your WrestleMania challenge from last week.
Ah, yes. Now, already in this top three or however many we got, I've got Steamboat Savage.
Explain the challenge. So
I had to pick WrestleMania matches that do not include the stars, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Steve Austin, and The Rock. Now, Des and I were talking off air before we came on, and we were flicking backwards and forwards through matches, and this is bloody difficult. So I've got my second one, because I think, again, it's obvious and it needs to be in there. Bret versus Owen from WrestleMania 10.
Yes.
It's a great match.
Granted.
And I remember I was talking to Dez last year, and I remember this conversation quite clearly. Dez was like, oh, have you ever seen that Bret versus Owen match? I'm like, from WrestleMania 10? I'm like, yeah, it's a great match. It's a wonderful match. Well, the one at SummerSlam is better.
Oh, man. Go watch the cage match from SummerSlam. It rules.
But I'm not saying that the WrestleMania 10 match is bad, because it's wonderful. And you know the best thing about it? It's an opener. It opened WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, it did.
So think, you had two classics on WrestleMania 10. You had this and you had the ladder match. Which one was better? Which one stands the test of time? And as much as I am a Shawn Michaels fan, as much as I'm a Shawn Michaels mark, I fully admit it. Shawn Michaels is, in my opinion, the greatest in-ring performer of all time.
Sure.
But Bret versus Owen was a better match.
That it was.
The third one is going to be very difficult.
It's going
to
be tough.
I don't know where to go now.
Put your thinking cap on for us.
There are a couple that I can think of, but I don't know whether they're on the caliber of Steamboat Savage or Bret versus Owen. Because you could put any of the Austin Rock matches in there and go, right, fine.
Sure.
The two Taker Michaels matches and go, yeah, they definitely should go in. I can't even pick Flair Michaels or anything like that. It's really difficult.
It's funny how these names get so linked to WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
WrestleMania is supposed to be the showcase of everybody on the show, but really they're...
We've kind of put it down to four.
Yeah, you think
about
people.
It. We haven't even mentioned Hogan in this.
Yeah. There are some Hogan matches that like clearly weren't good, but they've meant so much to WrestleMania, which is where I'm going.
Go on. Oh, is this your week?
This is mine. I think just objectively speaking, you can't not do Hogan and Andre from WrestleMania 3.
I think for the moment, yes, I agree with you.
And it's still, like, again, the match was not very good, but nobody cares about the match. Everyone,
it's that one spot, isn't it? That
yeah,
everyone cares
everyone
about.
Looks at the spot, and it's still talked about to this very day.
Granted, and you'll hear that Gorilla Monsoon call.
Yes.
Now, the irresistible force meets the immovable object. You will hear it now.
Yeah.
There are two calls you will hear for the rest of time. The JR one from the Hell in a Cell, and that one, I think.
Yeah, no, I
or
agree.
maybe Vince saying the boyhood dream has come true. That, you know.
Those three, sure. But I can't let this pass without mentioning that one. Yeah, next week is going to be really hard.
It is really hard. Because you could argue, you could have the Hogan Warrior match in there. It was a terrible match, though.
It was pretty bad. But it was one of the most exciting builds.
Because, in WrestleMania history.
Yeah, correct. Because you were going to see a top star be dethroned.
There are some others that I've thought of off the top of my head. You know, I'm going to have to think of them, consider them. Because you got... And you know, some I mentioned to you earlier, Beck, Angle versus Lesnar. Eddie versus Angle.
I wish we could do Angle versus Michaels, but again, that's off the table.
Again, Angle, yeah, exactly. Angle versus Michaels. Triple H versus John Cena from Mania 2.
Yeah.
There are a few. I've just got to pick the best one. I can't even, and you know, like the match wasn't very good, but even for the build, I can't even do Michaels versus Austin from Mania 14.
Yeah.
Do you know, that's how difficult this is.
It's getting tough, man. It's getting tough. So next week we'll see. And if you have your pick for WrestleMania match that does not include Michaels, Austin, Rock, or The Undertaker, at Des Delgadillo and at The Wisp on Twitter. I want to know. I'm curious.
I'm curious too, because you know it's really difficult. Yeah.
And don't say Edge versus Alberto Del Rio, because I will find you and I will punch you
in the mouth.
Although,
but you know what? That was a very, it was, we didn't know back then that was Edge's last match.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't. It was just silly. Speaking of Alberto Del Rio, I watched him.
Let's discuss Ring of Honor.
I watched him fight Jay Lethal for the Ring of Honor title, the TV title.
I want to discuss Ring of Honor from the very beginning. I want to talk about the announcers for this show, who were ridiculous like a married couple.
Oh God, Kevin
for
Kelly!
This whole show,
Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino just rule.
I love Steve Corino; he's one of my favorite announcers of all time.
I feel like Kevin Kelly; he's still a professional and stuff, but I think he's given in a little bit and said, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna mess around a little bit." Because
I feel that way about JR and the Attitude. I'm like, he's like, "All right, I'm just gonna have fun now."
They're having the best time.
It's hilarious.
They argued about roommates, and Steve Corino was upset that he wasn't Kevin Kelly's roommate.
And throughout the whole show, and Kevin Kelly was trying to stop Steve Corino getting drunk.
It was great. Jimmy Jacobs was probably the best commentary guest probably since Dean Ambrose.
Yes.
He was tremendous. And then, of course, Nigel McGuinness at the end was great, as always.
You know what? Nigel McGuinness, he can do no wrong in my eyes.
He's super good, right? Former guest on the show, by the way, if you want to go back and listen to... the Nigel McGuinness episode.
We have interviewed some great people.
Yeah, we have.
Yes, but let's talk about the opener. Matt Sydal versus... Oh, it's gone.
It's gone.
That's annoying. Oh, I had a float going as well.
Matt Sydal.
Cedric Alexander. Wasn't it?
Yeah, versus one half of the former CNC Wrestle Factory.
Yeah.
Caprice Coleman, by the way, I don't know where he's gone. I miss him.
Is he injured?
He used to sing and he was fun.
Is he injured?
I'm not sure. I don't watch Ring of Honor that much anymore. So Cedric Alexander versus Matt Sydal. This is a great chance for Cedric.
It's a great chance for Sydal to become reborn, quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah, but Sydal, it's one of those matches where you just get so upset with WWE. And again, a lot of it is Sydal's fault too, but it's just...
Oh yeah, a lot of it is his fault. But you can't just blame... It's the same with them, although I hate Ken Anderson. The WWE messed that up, but he really messed that up.
Yeah. But it's like, really, you have this guy under contract, and they had him for like a year after he was healed from his injury.
I think they'd lost faith in him because he got injured, then he got suspended, injured again.
Yeah, yeah, it's that weird mentality they have. But
unless you're Randy Orton, no one else can get away with that.
Yeah, no, if you're Randy Orton, they will amend their policy for you, as we've seen. So they did a really good job, Sydal, of getting the win. Other matches that stood out to me, I didn't
if
get.
You said Maria versus ODB, I'm gonna kill you.
No. That was, I mean, that match was a smoke and mirrors match. It was fine.
It was fine, but yeah.
Ring of Honor, like, if they're going to do a Divas match, they're not going to treat it like WWE and make it an afterthought. They're at least going to try and make it exciting.
Build to it. Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I got to tip my cap to Delirious for doing his best.
Well, she is the old Dirty Briscoe.
She is. No, the one of the matches that stood out to me that didn't really get the attention I thought it deserved was Roderick Strong and BJ Whitmer.
Ah, yeah. No, it was a good match.
Yeah, I think they did a great job in that match.
The storytelling in that match was really, really good. The psychology and the way they worked it. There was always something behind every single move.
Exactly. They were trying to steal each other's moves. He was trying to embarrass Roderick. The problem was, though, the storyline has been not bad, but it just...
It's convoluted, isn't it?
It's too fast. Like, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, at Final Battle...
They were the best of friends.
Yeah, and it was Roderick Strong versus Adam Page, and he was trying to teach him the ways of the decade. And now he's like 3 months later, and he's broken off from the decade, and he's trying to conquer them. It makes no sense. And Adam Page is still with the decade.
But the thing about it is, I think, like I said, this has been building, what, for 3 months, and this is like a pay-per-view. I reckon if they had 6 months with it, and there was no pay-per-view in between, they would have done a lot better.
Yeah, I agree.
They needed something to put on this pay-per-view, so...
You
know what match I really also enjoyed? The AJ one.
AJ Styles and ACH, that was super good. I feel like it could have been a little longer.
I think so, but I think, I don't know which match it was, but one of the matches went in a little bit longer than it should have. It might have even been the ODB Maria match, because that took ages.
My favorite spot, by the way, in the AJ versus ACH match was at the very beginning where he goes for the Styles Clash immediately, because...
Yeah.
Because he's a dick, and... He picks him up and the fans are just going, no,
no.
And by the way, I have it on good authority that in Japan now, whenever he picks it up, the crowd just panics. They think he's going to murder their guys.
You know what? That's what the Styles Clash should be.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it should be. Just do it on people that know how to talk, right?
Alberto Del Rio worked with, or I'm sorry, Alberto El Patron. Worked
yes, get
with,
it right.
Worked with Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal, his promo, like, I can't think of another guy whose promo has improved so drastically in the last 5 years.
And Alberto's English, again, take him off script. It's awful. Put him on script. He's amazing.
It's not as bad as he was for WrestleTalk TV. He was fine here, but Jay Lethal was just on another level.
And you can tell that Patron is having fun now.
Yeah, he's having fun.
He's enjoying life.
He's wrestling. He's doing what he wants to do. He's really
And he's
good.
Also a babyface. I find this weird.
It is weird. And it's working, which is the other weird thing.
Yeah, because they did it for like 6 months in the WWE. But then again, he was feuding with Ziggler at the time. But it just failed.
I wish I watched more Lucha, because I know in AAA, his
He is going to be a star.
Well, he's already the champion. And
that's what I'm saying. They're going to love him.
And the gimmick is, they've said this numerous times. He left WWE because... he was fighting racism, and the people in Mexico love that.
Racism. Well,
that's the gimmick.
I know.
That's what they're doing in Lucha Underground too. Although I don't think it's going to catch on as big.
No, I hope he punched Michael Hayes. Sorry, I can't stand that man.
I don't think Michael Hayes works for WWE.com. I don't know. I don't think he knows what a .com is.
He doesn't know what a dress sense is, apparently. Anyway. By the way, I think they're going to be inducted next year, the Freebirds. Again, rightfully so. I just don't like Michael Hayes.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's fine.
Yeah.
Also on this show, the return of one Samoa Joe.
Wow.
Holy Christ, this man.
He's motivated again.
My only complaint with Samoa Joe, and it's not even about him.
He needs to stop growling, firstly.
I wish they had gotten his audio right, like, from the beginning of the promo.
Yes. No, his audio was a bit off. I think the whole show, the audio was a bit off, to be honest.
It was. It was much better than most
indie shows,
Ring of Honor shows in the past, even.
Oh, yeah.
And by the time the main event came around, the audio was pretty much perfect. But by that point, it was like, dude, you've been doing the show for 2.5 hours.
You should have fixed it by now.
Yeah.
God forbid if you're watching. Can you imagine if it was like Ring of Honor around you in ECW online days? Ooh.
Oh, Christ. So, yeah, Samoa Joe was very motivated. He put over everyone in the main event. And
everybody.
And he said, I'm coming for you. Which makes me think, God damn it, Samoa Joe versus Jay Briscoe is going to rule.
Super Card of Honor. That's confirmed.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
Super Card of Honor. Samoa Joe versus Jay Briscoe for the Ring of Honor world title, which we've just given away the ending to the main event. However, there's more to that story.
I don't know how I feel about the finish of the main event. So
I've seen it done in WWE before.
Yeah, but it's, to me, it doesn't fit Jay Briscoe's character right now.
No, so, Jay Briscoe is a badass. He just kills people. That's what he does.
So the finish of this match had these dudes in masks come in. Called.
I don't get this. Who do you think it is?
Well, they're playing it up as if it's the Kingdom because they were doing all of the Kingdom's moves.
You mean the Twist of Fate and the Swanton and whatever?
Yeah, so that leads me to believe that it's in fact not them.
Who do you think it is? Do you think it's the Bullet Club?
I have no idea. I have no idea. And I feel like it's going to be a giant...
We've got the War of the Worlds coming up, haven't we?
That's true. Maybe.
So I'm assuming it could be the Bullet Club.
Maybe they'll go there.
It would make sense storyline-wise.
Yeah. Actually, that's a really good idea now that I think about it.
By the way, we haven't even mentioned the Young Bucks.
Well, yeah, we'll get there. But the main event here, Jay Briscoe, after this whole melee happened.
Pounding.
And then Tommaso Ciampa, which is another big element from Ring of Honor story.
Are they turning him face?
The limited knowledge that I have of Ring of Honor storylines, there's a thing between Nigel McGuinness and Tommaso Ciampa where...
He's not allowed to hit the referee, isn't it?
Right. It's a no-tolerance policy, Nigel's
calling. Yeah, zero tolerance. Kind of like how Scott... For you old-school wrestling fans, kind of had like Scott Steiner had in 2000.
Oh, God. So
this is so much better.
So this time, Nigel came into the ring because that's his job. Nigel continues to be the best authority figure in wrestling.
Oh, absolutely.
He gets in the ring, and he's about to be attacked, and Tommaso Ciampa saves him.
Which leads me to believe there's a face turn coming somewhere.
Maybe, or something. Maybe Tommaso Ciampa's being cerebral.
Has he learned the error of his ways?
That's right.
I don't think Nigel McGuinness is coming out of retirement, so fans, calm down.
No. The Young Bucks versus Red Dragon, which is something that we glossed over, but that match was awesome.
It ruled. Steve Corino and his super kick yelling is wonderful.
Rocky Romero was very good when you can hear him.
yes, again, audio is crappy for him, bless his heart. Well, he's just got one of them soft-spoken voices, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's teaming with Trent Beretta in May, which actually is
I don't know how
bad.
I feel about this, though.
Trent Beretta versus the Red Dragon, I think it's going to be pretty great.
You think?
I think so.
I don't know, man.
Trent Beretta is very good. I think the first time I watched him out of WWE, he was in PWG with Paul London. And their match.
Wow.
Their match, I was expecting the world, and what they ended up doing was more comedy than anything. But
now
since
Paul London doing now comedy.
Yeah. But since then, I've been watching Trent Beretta and evolve with all these guys. He's awesome.
Really? Okay. I'll give him a chance then.
Plus, he's going to be in the ring with Rocky Romero, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. And by the way, I had no idea Bobby Fish was 38.
Neither did I.
That makes me sad because I wanted him to get a big run somewhere.
The youngest looking 38-year-old in pro wrestling, apparently.
That might not be true. Steve Corino lies a lot.
That's his gimmick in life.
It's awesome. I love it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. It's great.
Oh, no, it's a very good... I think he forgets he's a babyface sometimes, too, which is hilarious.
Yeah. So it was a good show if you need something to watch.
Not as good as Final Battle.
Not as good. It wasn't it wasn't the best Ring of Honor show like ever. It was fine.
No.
It was probably their least good pay-per-view even. And they've done like three.
Well, the next one is apparently in June.
Yeah, Best in the World,
which is going to be a pay-per-view, which is good because that's my favorite pay-per-view from Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I always enjoy Best in the World.
I'm glad they're spacing them out. I'm glad they didn't jump the gun and say, let's make Supercard a pay-per-view. I think that'd be too soon.
Oh, absolutely it would be. And plus, Supercard and WrestleMania on the same weekend on pay-per-view, overkill.
That's true. That's pretty pricey. Although, I wonder how many people are going to be ordering WrestleMania on pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's interesting.
How much is it going to be on pay-per-view? 70-odd?
I think 60 for standard and 70 for high.
Jesus. Well, save that money and pay 100 for the Manny Pacquiao Mayweather fight.
I think there'll be a small percentage of like the technology illiterate who might order it, but that's it.
Yes. The price hike in the UK has gone up too, so I think like £20 here. So it doesn't sound like much, but from what we were paying $14.99, so it's a big jump for us.
Well, that's I haven't watched anything else this week, so that's it for us.
That's it.
We're ready to go.
Yeah, no, that's it. That really is it.
Hey, we'll be back on Thursday for Throwback Vibes.
Hang on. I want to do a quick plug.
Go for it.
Go to use your internet browsers, Internet Explorer, Firefox, Chrome, Safari. I'm not going to let you speak, so don't even try. Go to thingsdezsays.net, and you can click on the link that says, click here.
Click here.
You can speak now. There you go. he'll take you to the Amazon.com that you do and that you do know and that you do love, and don't tell me you don't, because you do.
Yeah.
And go and buy The Road Is Jericho. Just do it. For me, if not for him. Because Chris Jericho deserves your money.
Yes, he does.
There aren't many other wrestlers who I would say that about, but Chris Jericho deserves your money.
He deserves your money. He deserves your podcast listens. The Pod of Thunder.
Yes, the People's Podcast. He's ripped off our gimmick, but he's Chris Jericho, and we will allow this.
Yes.
Because he is that fruit.
He is indeed that fruit. So yes, please do that.
Who did he have on last week? I forget now. Oh, well, go and listen back. There's some really good ones. The one he did with Shawn Michaels is my absolute favorite, because they discussed everything we did just a month later.
I need to go back and listen to all those shows.
Yeah. The Lance Storm one was very, very good also.
About time, too. I was wondering when he was going to have him on.
Really, really enjoyable. Really fascinating conversation about their history and the way they came up together. Really interesting. Well, the Lance Storm can put anybody to sleep talking.
Oh,
just
God,
saying.
I know. That's why he needs Brian Alvarez to host his podcast for him.
God bless him. Great wrestler. Man, he's so boring.
But it's funny because, like, when you listen to him, and I don't agree with everything he says. He's very old school in his thinking.
Very, very old school.
But I do agree also with a lot of what he says, and he is a smart dude. Mm-hmm. And if like, of all the schools that I know of that are open right now, his wrestling
is the most
school,
popular. Yeah.
It's got to be the best. Like, you've got to get the best education from him.
Oh, absolutely. He will teach you psychology. He will teach you the technical skills.
And I know this is a big concern for you young greenhorns out there. He will not be stretching you.
No, he will not stretch you. And you will not have to pay for the privilege of him stretching you.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, he won't also eye gouge you like the Sheik used to do.
Oh, God.
The Sheik used to guide you, gouge you, bite your nose. This is all from Rob Van Dam when he inducted the Sheik into the Hall of Fame. I'm telling you.
Oh, boy.
If you don't do a headlock properly, he will come in and show you how to do a headlock. That's frightening.
I don't want to learn that at all.
I don't want to learn that from the Sheik at all either. That's just frightening. Ah, he's Sheik. A frightening man, was that Sheik.
He's the guy that they had to invent the escape the cage finish.
Yes, they did.
Because that's how much you couldn't beat him, because he would kill you.
Man with you know what? I would argue, and I'm probably going to get a lot of crit. He is the ultimate heel.
Oh my God. Imagine, like, there's no other heel where you've had to actually change the rules of wrestling because of him.
Yes.
What a great man.
And you know, the thing about it is, he and Rob Van Dam, he said he would never do to you anything he wouldn't have done to himself, which is frightening.
That's terrifying. Yeah, he was crazy. Yeah, breaking news in 2015, everyone. The Sheik was fucking nuts.
And we're not talking about Mr. the Iron Sheik who's on Twitter. No. The original.
No. This guy makes making people humble look like taking them on a picnic.
Yes. He is the original hardcore. We go on about Terry Funk and CZW and Mick Foley. No. The Sheik.
By the way, CZ.
If any footage of the Sheik out there, go and watch it. I'm telling you.
And by the way, we'll close with this. Note to CZW, you're very nice people, but stop drinking people's spit. That's disgusting.
What?
Yeah. All right. So let's wrap
things up. No, wait. No. You can't stop. What?
I'll explain it to you later. So at Des Delgadillo on Twitter, at The Wisp on Twitter.
We will be back on Thursday.
Yes, for the Throwback Vibes, the WrestleMania edition. Get ready.
I think by that you already know what the matches are.
It's got to be. I'll give you a hint. Faraz picked it.
Wow. So... Actually, you picked it, not me.
Well, because I knew it's...
I was being humble about it.
Yeah. But it's your favorite, guys.
It's my month, isn't it? Because you picked last.
I did. So get ready for that. And then next week, we're going to lead up to WrestleMania. And then in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be in San Jose, hopefully doing a series of podcasts, and it's going to be a super fun time.
Actually, I'm going to, no, you know what? Let me have a word with some of the listeners.
Ooh, let's do this.
I may not speak for the podcast on WrestleMania. I'm still deciding whether you fans deserve my words on what I feel about WrestleMania and the week in general.
I think what Faraz is trying to say is West Coast Wispy isn't a failure. You as the listener are the failure.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm coming to San Jose, but not because of you guys, because I can.
Redeem yourself by subscribing to the iTunes and leaving us a review and telling us how great and also how sorry you are. And use the
show
Amazon.
Me love for the next couple of weeks, and maybe.
Yeah, and use the Amazon link, and don't forget to check me out at the Ice House on April 2nd. I will be in the finals.
Ice House.
Yeah. I'll be in the finals of the funniest comic in LA contest. So come watch me beat everyone else.
I don't know how coherent Dez will be after that weekend. I'll try and keep him on the straight and narrow.
But he's going to fail because...
But I'm going to fail. I can tell you now.
It's WrestleMania.
I'm going to fail.
And it's going to be awesome.
I will be hosting every single one of the podcasts, I think.
Maybe. We'll see what happens.
Mm.
Yes. All right. So that's it. See you on Thursday for Throwback Vibes. Oh, Wednesday, we have Culture My Pop. I have no idea what's happening for that. So stick around.
Yeah, me either.
And then Faraz's Roundtable will be up next week on Culture My Pop. And it'll be up Thursday on a...
On the SoundCloud.
On the Pump Project SoundCloud.
Project SoundCloud, so yes.
I'll be sharing it with everyone. And that's it. So listen to all those shows. And if you don't, then Faraz has got two words for you.
Piss off.